that go now this particular path. It's really very individual. It's the Lord within the heart who is giving some signs, sometimes internally, but sometimes from outside. There are situations which repeat themselves and which we just can't ignore any longer. We have to say, maybe I should do this. Also nice to see some students of the Kirtan course. Good, we will have our lecture now. First I Radha Madhava. Sorry, I'm a little bit... I got up early and I'm a little bit... In a moment I will be... will find my balance. Jaya Radha Madhava. Kunyavihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavihari Gopi Janavallava Girivaradari Gopi Janavallava Girivaradari Yasoda Nandana Raja Janarandana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Rama, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Sirathe Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Welcome. You give also pleasure to our eyes. Welcome, welcome. We are reading this morning from the 6th canto, chapter 17, text 30. Please repeat. Aviveka kritaha pungso yarta beda ivatmani guna dosha vikalpascha bedeva srajivat kritaha Aviveka krita pungso,
Aviveka krita pungso,
yata beda ivatmani,
yata beda ivatmani,
guna dosha vikalpascha,
dosha vikalpascha,
pit eva srajivat krita, Aviveka Krita Pungso.
Aviveka Krita Pungso.
Yata Beda Ivatmani.
Yata Beda Ivatmani.
Guna Dosha Vikalpascha.
Guna Dosha Vikalpascha.
Bedeva Sajivat Krita. Yes, please, someone else. Matajis, please. Thank you very much. Aviveka Kritaha. Done in ignorance without mature consideration. Pungsaha. Of the living entity. He. Indeed. Artabedaha. Differentiation of value. Eva. Like. Atmani, in himself, Gunadosha, of quality and fault, Vikalpaha, imagination, Cha, and bit, difference, Eva. Certainly, Sraji, in a garland, what, like, Kritaha, made. So the text is a little philosophical, so we need to concentrate now. As one mistakenly considers a flower garland to be a snake. Mistake. It's not a snake, it's a flower garland. So as one mistakenly considers a flower garland to be a snake, or experiences happiness and distress in a dream, so in the material world, by a lack of careful consideration, we differentiate between happiness and distress, considering one good and the other bad. Wow, this is... Please let us listen now how Prabhupada explains. So the text says to us that it is only due to a lack of careful consideration, that is hasty thinking, not mature thinking, where we think happiness is good and distress is bad. Well, this challenges a lot of our thinking. So we need to now focus carefully to hear how this is explained. I'm myself very curious, so please, are you all on board?
Yes.
Good. The happiness and distress of the material world of duality are both mistaken ideas. To think this is, gives me happiness, mistake. To think that this gives me distress is equally a mistake. Wow. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Dvaite Bhadra Bhadra Gyan Sabha Manodham E Bala E Manda E Sabha Brahma. The distinction between happiness and distress in the material world of duality are simply mental concoctions. For the so-called happiness and distress are actually one and the same. They are like the happiness and distress in dreams. A sleeping man creates his happiness and distress by dreaming, although actually they have no existence. The other example. So this is, I'm sorry, but because we have a young audience and I want all my audience to understand this, I have an experience today. I was having two dreams I can distinctly remember. One is a beautiful cream cheese was offered to me with a layer of reddish, bluish blueberry. I don't know, what is it? A layer, small layer. Oh, it looks so wonderful. And the other was, I was a tennis player. And I was in the final round of the, I think it's called World Cup or whatever it is, the final trophy. And it was very short. And then the opponent just was beating the ball in such a way that I could not even see it. And it flew in my face. And something broke and I lost the World Cup. I remember he won. So when there was the cream cheese, I was thinking great feelings of happiness run through my whole system. And when I got the ball in the face, tennis ball, it was very hard, I remember, in the dream. I have no prolonged experience with tennis. I once tried and it didn't work. I felt distress. But now I'm awake, I'm sitting here in the temple. And all this happiness and distress is gone. I live my life now. I'm trying to explain something to you, and I'm enjoying this wonderful flower garland. So it's a different story. So it says, just like the experiences in the dream are an illusion, also what we experience in the so-called wakeful state are an illusion. So let us continue with the purpose. The other example given in this verse is that of a flower garland, which is originally very nice. But by mistake, for want of mature knowledge, one may consider it a snake. It's like sitting here and feeling, it's a snake. No, that's what it is. You are laughing, but because you're young, but if we make the mistake to consider a flower garland to be a snake, or vice versa, if we think a snake is a flower garland, that's an illusion. So happiness and distress are like that. In this connection, there is a statement by Prabodhananda Sarasvati, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. Everyone in this material world is distressed by miserable conditions, But Srila Prabhudananda Saraswati says that this world is full of happiness. How is this possible? He answers, Yat karunya kataksha vabhaivatam tam goram evastumaha. A devotee accepts the distress of this material world as happiness only due to the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By his personal behavior, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that he was never distressed, but always happy in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. One should follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and engage constantly in chanting the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then he will never feel the distress of the world of duality. In any condition of life, one will be happy if he chants the holy name of the Lord. Yes. I was experiencing this also when I finally woke up from my so-called happiness, the cream cheese. I remember it told to me, this is from Ahimsa milk, so you can drink, you can eat. And when I woke up from my so-called distress, suffering from a ball in my face, I was still a little groggy, so to say, and I sat down to chant, and as soon as I chanted this, I made a huge difference between me and my earlier dreams. And this happens when we are also in the so-called practical life, where we experience also sometimes happiness when we are praised maybe by others, and distress when we are misunderstood and we are terribly chastised by others. When we sit down and chant, the same holds true as with the dream experience. A distance is created, a healthy distance is created, where we are in the spiritual position of life, on the real level of the soul, and then we are no longer concerned about the happinesses and the distresses of the world. It's as far in the distance as the dream which we are just now dreaming. Prabhupada continues his analogy, and this paragraph is maybe the most, let me say, colorful part of the entire purport. In dreams, we sometimes enjoy eating sweet rice and sometimes suffer as if one of our beloved family members had died, because the same mind and body exist in the same material world of duality. When we are awake, the so-called happiness and distress of this world are no better than the false, superficial happiness of dreams. The mind is the via medium in both dreams and wakefulness, and everything created by the mind in terms of sankalpa and vikalpa, acceptance and rejection, is called manodharma, or mental concoction. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Namo Om. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pachanine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyane Satadine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Jaiva Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna. In Germany, there is a writer, Gustav Meyrink, who wrote something on this idea, which always stayed with me from my youth, when I stopped reading him, but I had read a lot of him in my time before I came to Krishna consciousness. He said, "When people think, you know, when people wake up from their dreams, they mistakenly think, now my real life starts, without realizing that they enter a much more dangerous dream than the dream they have just shaken off." A beautiful quotation, isn't it? When it means, just as you wake up from the dream, from the sleep, and then start your real life, you can actually also wake up from your material life and start your real life. Now, the illusory life in the dream reality is not so dangerous as the illusory life in Maya, because when you, Maya means when you, I wanted to say when you are awake, because when you are in dream, you don't create karma, there's no reaction. When I wake up and I've eaten tons of cream cheese, I don't feel heavy in my body, nor do I have to pass a lot of air. It is inconsequential. But if I overeat in the so-called wakeful reality, and have tons of cream cheese, I might have ruined my day, and I can only sleep and lament from a stomach ache. So karma or reactions are created in the so-called wakeful material reality, not in the dreaming reality. So therefore, we have to be careful what we do in our wakeful dream, so to say. So let me now talk about something which I feel is very important for us to understand. The material reality of good and bad, and happiness and distress, as you will have to admit, feels very real though. Yes, we hear in the Bhagavatam lecture that it is a dream, but when we are awake and we go through the our day, the dream feels very, very concrete, especially when we sit on the seat of the in the dental chair, and the drilling starts. No, when the misery starts to get intense, then we do feel very, very much that this is real, real. And in our Krishna conscious line of thinking, we don't hold that this is really very, very unreal, that the wakeful experiences on the dental chair, for instance, or when something happens. We say it is unreal in the sense that it is very short term. It is only temporary. But how does it happen that we are so much identified with what happens on the body and mental platform when we are awake? Krishna explains this difficult question to Uddhava in the 11th canto. He says, one first identifies falsely with the body and mind. One is very identified with it. By false ego, and one is totally in the body and the mind. One has no distance any longer, and cannot look at happiness and distress which happen in the body and mind with a distanced view. It's the false ego which binds us very much to this material existence. Is described to be like a knot, a hard knot, in the heart, which ties the eternal blissful soul to a temporary, miserable body and mind. And then, once this is done, something very, let me say, intense happens. Rajagun, or passion to enjoy this world, begins to dominate the mind. The mind is originally peaceful, it's in goodness, it's tranquil, it is wise, it is happy. But when this passion comes, where you want to enjoy this world, then all of a sudden you are overcrowded with unlimited, inexhaustible plans for material enjoyment. I could do this, I could do that, I could go here, I could go with a bus tour, I could eat this, I could dress in that, I could become a guitar player in a rock and roll band. No, I can become a knitter of nice colorful pullovers. And in this way, the mind is constantly going in this material world. When the soul loses its independence, in other words, when it becomes so identified, and let us say the word bound here, bound to this material body and mind, you become totally dominated. That's a good word, dominated. You become enslaved, you become forced by an unlimited variety of material plans. In the Gita, I have also the Gita here, Krishna explains this further, and with this I will come to a point which is easy to remember, which is not so philosophical. He says, Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata savabhutani samoham sargeyanti parantapa. Bhatta Hari is a master of various scriptures. No, not sorry, it is encouraging to get full support. So Krishna speaks to Arjuna, what happens when the eternal soul gets really in the material energy, in the material world, and in some way loses its spiritual illumination, his spiritual potency, if you so wish. He says, O son, O scion, he says, scion is an old word, O scion of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, the enemy, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities arisen from desire and hate. And my dear devotees, my dear listeners, my dear audience, this is what it means when you are in the material dream, in the so-called wakeful dream, when you are awake. You're bewildered by this function of the mind, the acceptance and the rejection. The mind accepts this. This is a good idea. This makes sense. This I want to pursue further in my life. And it rejects other things. Or it accepts people. Most probably some of you have done this. Some of you have thought, oh, Sachinanda Swami sings beautifully, as an example, but he talks terribly. So it's called accepting and rejecting. The mind goes like this. I mean, in this case, you are wrong when you think I'm sing beautifully, and you're right when you think that I'm talking terribly, but this is besides the point. The mind always is busy accepting things, persons. Oh, look at him, he looks nice. Oh, he has facial hair, this is not so nice. Oh, look at this young person, the dress is totally awkward, but she thinks she looks cool. giving a young example, no? So, constantly we accept, our mind accepts things, and constantly it rejects things. There's an analogy which I want to present to the students in the Kirtan course in the morning, how the mind is constantly going back and forth in this world, never peaceful, never calm, never wise, always sankalpa accepting and always rejecting. And the example is that of an elephant. When I was in Vrindavan, I once saw a procession. There was a deity which was carried by a huge, massive elephant. There was a priest on the back of the elephant and his mahout, his elephant trainer. So the elephant came through the Loi Bazaar. Some of you might know. It's a marketplace where there are mostly clothes shops, but next to it you can buy everything. Indian market, no? And then before, just slightly before the clothes shop, there are these, I don't know how to explain it to you. It's like these booths. They are rollable. You can roll them there, which have a flat surface, and then there are piles of very beautifully packed oranges, apples. There are these towers. They look really very symmetric, and you think, oh, India is supposed to be so chaotic, but this pile of oranges is mathematically absolutely correctly placed. Each orange defies the Indian chaos. And then there are stands with sugar cane, freshly pressed, and the stalks are still there on the side, and so on and so forth. The whole street is lined on both sides by these fruit carts. Oh, thank you. That's the word I looked for, carts. So this elephant comes through, and all of a sudden the trunk starts to wander. It takes a fresh ananas and throws it into the mouth. It continues, goes to the left side. It takes a sugar cane stalk. You know these, they look like reeds. And it goes, and it creates a chaos. All the vendors are panicked. Oh, no. And they try to put a blanket over their apples and what they have in order to protect them from the roaming, wandering trunk of the elephant, which constantly goes back and forth. And then the elephant comes to some machine, I believe a generator, and the trunk went there to the cold generator and thought, this is not eatable, and pushed the generator on the floor. It was really creating a havoc on the market, and everyone was screaming. It was accepting things and rejecting other things, the priest and the deities were shaking. The elephant was on fire with acceptance and rejectance, so to say, until the Mahout, the elephant trainer, had a good idea. I think that's what they do. He took a bamboo stick and then just put it in the trunk. And when that, when the elephant just had it like this, it could not wander any longer. It was engaged with the trunk. So this is what our good analogy I found. Our mind is like that elephant trunk, accepting, oh, this is good, this is bad, this is happiness, this is distress. We walk like this through the world, constantly, like an elephant goes through a marketplace, and so on. When we start to become busy, however, with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and we actually focus our mind, then the roaming of the mind comes to an end, just like the elephant trunk stopped roaming and wandering at the moment it held on to the bamboo stick. This is the art of chanting Hare Krishna. We are holding on to the mantra, and the constant roaming of the mind between so-called good and bad is coming to an end. Prabhupada here therefore says one should follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and engage constantly in chanting the Maha Mantra. Please let us say it together. It's such a nice experience. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Then one will never feel the distress of the world of duality. In any condition of life, one will be happy if he chants the holy name of the Lord. This wandering is stopped in a very nice way. But for the purpose of this lecture, I would like to briefly bring your mind back to this original point. How does it come that we so ardently and so that we are so involved in it, in the happiness and distress of our body and mind. It comes. Does anyone remember? I think you, the older devotees, know. Huh? How? What? What exactly binds you so much to the so-called happiness and distress? You look at me and I'm looking at you. I'm serious. I want to have an answer from you. Huh? Desire? Desire? We may look for something else here. Yes? Anyone? Desire is certainly one thing. Yes?
Is it the ego?
It is the ego. Yes. You have discovered the culprit. Hiding. Yes, it's because of the ego, the sense of identity, that you have certain values in your mind. This is important. I'm a musician. I like music. I'm a connoisseur of good food. I like cream cheese. I'm a tennis lover. I love tennis. There you put values, priority, and goal. We all tend to think that the main obstacle in the world is the mind, but it's really the ego. The mind, who's much grosser than the ego, is always subordinate to the ego and serves to maintain and protect one's false concept of the self. Just look at it practically. If you identify yourself with a material person, you know, then you will try to earn money, have a fulfilling a life at home with children, and so on. You will try to go on holidays and so on. But when you identify yourself as being a devotee, you would say, no, for me, my life means I wish to be with other devotees. I would like to engage in kirtan and in serving Krishna. A whole different world develops for you based on that little knot in the heart called the ego, the sense of identity. I have found out in my spiritual life, the moment I have problems with the mind wandering, which happens for every one of us, I just go back to this question, with what do I identify? And I find out I'm a servant of Krishna. Let me give you a practical example from this morning. This morning was a good morning for me. I was after having this dreams in the night, which I told you about, I was sitting down to chant, and in the beginning I just couldn't enter the chanting of the holy name. It was very difficult for me. Very, I don't know how to explain it. The mind was just still in the dream world of the night. And there was a feeling of disturbance. I lost Wimbledon. Just when I was 1 millimeter before the end success, a ball fell in my face. And it was a grief, which really, I don't know, I Hare Krishna. In the dream, I was very, very, I thought, this much more. And I would have won the World Cup, but then I somehow the grief was so strong in the dream. When I woke up, it was still some feeling of feeling ill at ease. I don't even know if it comes from this foolish dream, but something was there. Then I thought very deeply, Satchinanda Swami, we are not getting anywhere. You are supposed to give the kirtan course and to meet the bus tour revolutionaries very soon, so you have to better shape up here. Let's to get into it. And what helped me is to really think, I'm actually a devotee. My Lord, I need your help. I want to get out of this. I want to chant now the holy name with gusto, with really properly. And when I changed into this identity of being a servant of Krishna, everything changed. I became very happy, very focused. I had wonderful morning. And then I met with Padmakshi the morning. And then I came out of my room. The first person I meet is Badahari Prabhu. And we old men feel great joy to see each other. And we walk together to the temple. Wonderful darshan. Based all on going into my right identity. My dear devotees, this is such a simple thing. If you experience how the mind also wanders here and there, nishchalati, being unsteady, being always engaged with this elephant business, going back and forth, then you just say, stop here. Yes, you really say stop to yourself. You don't have to say it loud, but you can say it. And then you say, yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamastiram tatas tato niyam yaitat atman yeva vasham nayat. What does this mean? From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. No, go back to yourself. Come home in your body. Come home to where you are. Wake up. You are a part of Krishna, and you have the chance to get in a relationship with him through active service. Mm-hmm. It's all time for us to wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Don't sleep any longer. No, I was thinking philosophically. You thought physically, and you woke up physically. Now you need to wake up one step further. wake up spiritually to your identity. You're a servant of Krishna. Your life is meant to serve Krishna. Serving Krishna is valuable for you. It's a priority. It's a goal. Why? Because you are a servant. Want to end with something very beautifully, which I read yesterday. Prabhupada says, spiritual perfection is not limited by material qualifications. Material qualifications don't matter. But spiritual perfection is developed by dint of one's sincere endeavor to render transcendental service. And then he says, voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. First step is, no, I'm a servant of Krishna. And the next is, make some voluntary endeavor. Don't serve Krishna only because you're told. I mean, it's sometimes, yes, we need to know, okay, what do I do now? And we are told. But the idea is, do it voluntarily. Don't do it with a grunt. Oh, now you have to help me. Begrudgingly. What a wonderful vocabulary you have. Don't do it begrudgingly. Yes? Does it be you from England or America? Begrudgingly. Don't do it with an inner resentment. Understand, I'm a servant. I wish to serve now. And that will clarify everything. You will wake up not only physically, like you have shown, Prabhuji, but you will wake up in a spiritual sense, which is even more rewarding than physically waking up. Hare Krishna. Don't feel ashamed. You did a lot of service, most probably, and ate also some cream cheese. But I saw this devotee in the restaurant, and who could not eat cream cheese made by Padmakshi in the restaurant? No problem. What do you all think? Do you have a question regarding this? Bada Hari Prabhu?
Can you just read that one line again, the voluntary?
Yes, yes, it is so beautiful. And Gokrishna, you read something similar yesterday. Maybe you can also say the line which you read. So here it is. Are you listening?
Yes.
Good. Voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. Voluntary endeavor. What did you read yesterday? Yeah. Voluntary endeavor is the secret of spiritual success. Prabhupada said that sentence in the first canto. This is from the third canto. If you can show me the exact reference, then I write it in my notebook and then I have something valuable to say. Yeah. See, it's a voluntary endeavor is the secret of spiritual success. It's a voluntary endeavor is once you have the identity right. When you are in dreams, oh no, I think I go shopping today. When you have the idea, I mean, there's nothing wrong in shopping. Everything has its place. I'm trying to address a young audience, yes. But about life's priorities. Thinking I'm a servant. Good. Vishvamba. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Good, finally.
Thank you. I was thinking about you were saying about, you know, the Mano Dharma is the Dharma of the mind to, you know, identify with the ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Know whether they're identifying that. External ways of identifying somebody that is handling that properly. Mm-hmm. That way, aspiring to be like them. Or, you know, like that.
Wonderful question. Wonderful question. How can, for what symptoms should one look if one finds wants to find a person to follow who has is in the right identity and is not acting out of ego. Well, one very, let us say, telltale symptom is when a person remains humble, is not inflated with a sense of self-importance, and is also tolerant to what comes from outside and doesn't react when he so impulsively, but is tolerant to the happiness and distress, to honor and dishonor, and so on. Then you know he is no longer identified with a material ego. That's a very, very sure thing. See, because what inflates the ego is obviously pride on one's achievements, but there is also a little needle, tick, that deflates the ego, if you so want. It's when one is genuinely humble. And that humility very much is seen outside. You ask you say this is some very internal symptoms, but yes, it can be seen outside by how tolerant he is. And you can check yourself also. This tolerance is very important. Therefore, and we learn it by taking on some austerities in our service. No, then I think you remember in your own life when you have to drive 50 times to the Brussels airports during Radha Desh Mellows at awkward times, you know, so that they can, everyone can. And then someone says, Vishwamba, your driving is as lousy as that of a... I don't know. It says something which is slightly offensive. So then he said, I'm doing all this service here for free and you are daring to call my driving lousy? And then you know, some identification was going on here with my ego. Hare Krishna, tolerance, very important. But thank you very much. I really don't want to embarrass my Hridaya Chaitanya. But I saw Hridaya Chaitanya, very important man, and ISKCON, very important man. But I saw when this morning when there was something with the microphone which needed to be properly adjusted to the heights of the singer. Hridaya Govinda went down there in his old age fixing the cable, and I thought, yes, he is a humble man. that I saw. So, sorry, I'm very observative, what to do. But please, I will not say more. I know we feel slightly inconvenienced when we are praised, especially for such small things, you know. I meant, however, with this sense of identity, it's very difficult to address the ego. The ego is so subtle. It can take on so many disguises. Even it can disguise up as a very humble thing. It can't so easily disguise as being tolerant. You know, someone can, and make a very humble smile and go extremely deep towards the ground in his physical body. And then when something happens which is not according to plan, the humble person becomes an exploding volcano. And then you know that was that humility was just a show of the ego. Intolerance, you can actually measure the humility. That's Hare Krishna. I have seen many things, that's why I love. We have our experiences, also with myself, of course, included. No, I mean here a sense of identity. We all have to. Ego is not, when we say ego, it means something bad. But I meant also a sense of identity. You need that. When you wake up in the morning, and you don't no, I don't know, I'm Satchinandan Swami, then I might think I'm a GBC and start to rule things and go to meetings where I will, the door will be closed to me, you are not a GBC. I have to have a sense of continuity when in my life, and that is a sense of who I am, and that can we can work on that sense. On the ego is very, the ego needs to be purified. That's a process in sadhana. But you can think, okay, I'm here. I'm meant to be a lecturer. Should maybe talk a little bit more serious here, and in this way you can very easily lead a good life. Everyone should have it clear. What is my identity so that I can set values? This is valuable for me. This is not so valuable for me. This is my priority and these are my goals. I thank you very much for attending this lecture. I wish you a wonderful day in Radha Desh. If we don't see each other throughout the day, please do make it a point to come for the evening kirtan. Which are always so beautiful and start at 8:15. Yes, 8:15. Hare Krishna.